And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this, you got to say, was a bad week this last week for lots of people and lots of groups. And politically, for example, it was not a very good week for a lot of old Americans.
Yes. Yeah. Were four notable passings. Rosalynn Carter, actually, she passed away the week before, but her memorial was this week. We had Charlie Munger from Warren Buffett's pal. From Berkshire Hathaway, was 99. Rosalynn was 96. Henry Kissinger was 100. And
my neighbor, he went to high school with my brother. Well, he went before my brother, but the same high school.
High school, okay. And then Sandra Day O'Connor, who passed at 93. and each of these left their mark for different reasons. All of them, I think, were part of a different America that we don't see much of now. They were part of the last half or the last third of the 20th century. The politics has so changed, and the demography and the attitudes have so changed. No one ever that I ever heard of had a bad word for Mrs. Carter. And she represented that old line Protestant church ethos, she lived by her principles. And we don't see that now among a lot of these right-wing Christians and evangelicals. Not all, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them have forsaken their principles. And even after the presidency, she used her status to try to help people, which is what life is about, not just yourself, but others. We look at Charlie Munger, and his investment philosophy with Warren Buffett was invest in America for the long term. Now we see all sorts of short-term traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S. There's also a lot of traders. Short-term trading, it's all for today and never the long term. And Munger wasn't of that principle. He didn't like a lot of these, get-rich-quick schemes or some of the stuff that's out. He was notably against cryptocurrency, for instance, and he was also wasn't a big fan of Elon Musk in many ways. And Charlie wasn't afraid to let people know, but I guess when you're that rich, you don't have to care about what people think about you. You can say and get away with things. Sandra Day O'Connor was a groundbreaker, and she was a sort of a bridge. Remember when she got out of law school, she couldn't get a job because she was a woman. They'd only hire her to be a secretary. And of course, things have changed markedly now, but she represented a different way of getting things. She worked hard. She did what had to be done. And although she was considered a conservative in today's world, she would have been at least a moderate, if not somewhat left of center. As she went on in the court, she and Antonin Scalia would be in written opinions. I don't know how they got along behind the scenes, but her written opinions really went after each other in many, many, many ways. Unfortunately, I think her mark is she went ahead with the Bush v. Gore opinion, which is one of the worst ones in American politics. And this what followed was that Bush wound up with two appointments to the Supreme Court, including her seat.
So do you think that her significance as a pace setter for women, achievement, women's achievement at the upper levels, is her legacy, or is her legacy Bush versus Gore?
Oh, I think it's the achievement for women. There's enough to go around on Bush v. Gore.
But without her vote, there's no Gore. I mean, there's no Bush.
There's no Bush. But on the other hand, without William Kennedy's vote, the same thing could be said.
So we're talking about Kennedy. We're talking about her.
I know. And, you know, she represented that, although her upbringing was quite different, that country club Republican, more or less elite that has the Republican Party's gotten away with. But still, I still think that the achievement for a woman is more paramount. There are opinions that you could be you can criticize her for, certainly. But overall, she was the first, and that makes somewhat of a difference. Now we have four women on the court.
Yeah, four women on the court.
Yeah, so
which is very interesting, because can you compare Ketanji Brown, for example, with Coney Barrett? Aside from the fact that they're women, what the hell?
There's a big difference in their
philosophies. That's right.
Yeah. And, Amy Coney Barrett is, I think, part of that new, I think, try to compare her with Sandra Day O'Connor you get to see where they're coming from and how they are. Barrett is more of an ideologue, more parochial in her thinking. Sandra Day O'Connor, her background is something that we don't have much, we don't see on the court anymore. Was one, she was a legislator. She was a politician. She held public office. She had to run for public office. She had to learn to cooperate with other people to get bills passed. And also, she came from a state court, which we don't, everybody that's been appointed in recent years is coming from the federal courts. And has a federal background, rather than a state background, where you see, when you're in a state court, you see practical things that affect people, not just these theoretical constitutional issues. You see property disputes, you see family disputes, you see personal injury disputes, all of those things. And that gives you a different perspective. She came from that background. David Souter had that background as well. So they serve together on the court. We don't see that anymore. So I think that's somewhat notable. And the most controversial, the one I left for last, was Henry Kissinger. In some ways, a remarkable life. He wrote a book at age 99 on foreign policy. But there's a lot to be said about his foreign policy directives and whether they ultimately were good or bad. There's a lot of thinking that in the long run they were bad for America. He was the guy of real politique, practicalities. He opened China. He worked that deal, but there were a lot of people that died because of some of the decisions he made and some of his callousness in that regard. There was a quote I saw about Kissinger, and in some ways it sort of applies to Donald Trump these days. He said, the illegal we do immediately, the unconstitutional takes a little longer.
Well, that was Kissinger, right?
Yeah, that was Kissinger. The secrecy of things. That kind of stuff. So
Kissinger was a man devoted to the interests of American big business and the political extension of the influence and the rights of American big business abroad. That was his career. That was what he did. Whether it took war, it took war. It took assassination, he assassinated. He was the one who said about the election of Allende in Chile It was too important a matter to leave to the stupidity of the Chilean people. So he killed, he stimulated Pinochet, covered for him. The CIA was intimately involved in the coup that overthrew Allende. And later, he was part of a regime of assassination. Kissinger was part of a regime of assassination because in Washington, D.C., Lori Moffitt and an American advisor to Allende's foreign office and Allende's former foreign minister were killed on Pennsylvania Avenue by assassins. And it was all traced back to Kissinger's planning. So you have an interesting group with these four people. Munger is not a traitor. He's an investor.
Right.
He represents, if anybody, Munger and Buffett are the financial... They are the capitalist system of America, right? They are the big investors, right?
Yeah.
That's why he could say whatever he wanted to. He was the boss. He owned everything. Everybody else on the list of currently dead people, Kissinger, O'Connor, and Carter, one way or another worked for these guys. Carter was married to the president. The president's job is to make sure the government does what the big business needs to have done. O'Connor was a Supreme Court justice. The Supreme Court is there to make sure that the rules that favor big business are declared constitutional. And Kissinger was the great strategist. And he was the great strategist. He was he out-strategized anybody else on their team. The fact that they lost, well, that just indicated they had a weak hand. But that doesn't mean that they had a chance any other strategy would have done any better. But that's what you had here. You had the passing of bosses and workers, so to speak, of a certain era. Today we have different bosses and workers, right? But it's the same thing.
Well,
Kissinger, he was an unusual guy. He was there a long time. Plus, he was an immigrant. Plus, he was a Jew. So he had an outsized influence, an outside persona. Nobody else sought the limelight the way he did and was able to exploit it. So that was something, but it's hard to say that his strategy was any good or that it was any more successful than anybody else's strategy in the same situation.
Yeah. Well, he sought the limelight personally, but behind the scenes, it was where he manipulated.
Yeah.
It wasn't up front. I remember the one quote right around the time of the 73, the Yom Kippur War, when he was talking to Golda Meir, talking about somebody that could, stand up to him a little bit. He said, I'm an American first, a Secretary of State second, and a Jew third. And her response was, well, over here in Israel, we read things right to left. reminding him a little bit about that it's not quite that clear, but
by the way, Kissinger, aside from his significance in his older years, in the beginning of his professional career, he was a Harvard professor. He played a very important role at Harvard in training a cadre of young college students to become the backbone of the State Department. He ran an institute every summer that called up-and-coming young people who were active in the National Students Association, paid for them to go to Harvard for the summer, and trained them in how to be CIA agents and how to be Foreign Service people. One of the people who was chosen for that and who did it was Gloria, the woman who founded Ms. Magazine.
Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem, that's right. And her first job when she got out into the world was working exactly for the CIA in India to infiltrate the Indian student movement. Years later, she apologized for taking that job. But in the meanwhile, that's her background, that was her training, that's what she did. And the National Students Association had an international department, which was the great place to recruit that the CIA used to recruit and send them off to Kissinger's school.
Yeah. Well, let me transition off of that, because I think it's somewhat important. You know, I always quote the Lewis Powell method.
Yeah.
And the things about thinking long term, which is Charlie Munger, and ideas matter, which is what you talk about when you're a professor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to control the communications, and Kissinger certainly did a lot of that stuff. One of the things that Powell went after, he went after three areas. He wanted to go after the universities. Mm-hmm. He said, this is where ideas are formed, and we have to do that. That was one of those ones. He also said, we have to go after the courts, Sandra Day O'Connor. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you have to go through the press and the publications, communications. But this is what, we get from the Koch brothers. You know, they're building a network of influence, and the Federalist Society, for instance, is something that parallels what you just said about Kissinger. Mm-hmm. They go into the universities and they grab people and they send them. They do summer retreats and they do courses and they do all this stuff. They're not the only ones. We have that other network that focuses on legislators.
Alec,
yeah. Same, along the same lines, and it's funding and
same people, same Koch brothers.
Yeah, same Koch brothers. And I again commend to our listeners Ann Nelson's book Shadow Network, which mm-hmm. really exposes a lot of this stuff. But now it's even gotten more so, and we're beyond that. But you have to understand how these things are. And of course, this week we had the Koch brothers decided to come out and. Rather than sit on the sidelines with the Republicans, they placed their bets with Nikki Haley. And you started reading in the press about all what that means with their network, where she will be getting money and funding, and you're going to start seeing articles and stuff, mm-hmm. about her. But, the Koch brothers don't always win politically. And this one, I don't see them winning against Trump at this stage.
It doesn't matter. They'll have another chance.
Yeah,
it may matter, but they'll still have another chance.
Well, Charlie, they talk about Joe Biden being too old. Charles Koch is getting way up there, although his son has now taken over that. But we still don't know how effective his son is going to be on these things.
By the way, talking about training people, it came to light this week that there is a nationwide effort to train high school teachers and to impose civics. Syllabuses in the various high schools, which substitutes for the civics training that has been done up until now, and it is developed by Hillcrest College, one of the Hillsdale College, right. which is in Michigan, right? It's one of the
libertarian Christian
nationalist, right?
Christian nationalist school. Yeah, they're one of those that won't take federal money because they. Don't want to have the rules like you can't discriminate.
But tens of thousands of high school teachers have already gone through seminars run by them, teaching them how to teach their syllabus, which features three things: Christian nationalism, patriotism, anti-communism. That's civics training in many, many school districts, thousands of school districts today.
I was watching this week on C-SPAN, and if I heard it right, because they had a caller called in to the guest who happened to be from the American Enterprise Institute, a pollster that my son worked with at one time when he did his semester down in Washington, D.C. And the guy starts bragging about his son being one of the highest scorers on some history exam across the nation. And this guy was from Florida, and he was saying, you got to be careful because we have all this Marxist teaching about equality and equitable mm-hmm. things. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering what your son really learned. Or did he learn about Thomas Jefferson and Abe Lincoln, who, Jefferson said all men are created equal, and Lincoln said the same thing, whether a nation that can long endure.
What he learned is encapsulated by the painting that the right wing loves, which is a depiction of Jesus Christ handing a copy of the Constitution to Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
That's what he learned. That's what they're all learning.
Well, he called those ideas Marxist.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson and Abe Lincoln were Marxists.
So, exactly.
Anyway, but I had to interject that.
It makes the antics of people like Scott Perry antics. Not to downgrade the malign influence of people like Scott Perry, who's our Pennsylvania congressman, who's head of the Freedom Caucus. I don't...
Freedom for whom?
Yeah, but I'm not trying to downplay his significance or the bad influence he has on American life. But at a certain level, his shenanigans don't rise, you know, to the level of what we've just been discussing with comprehensive... you know, malicious attack upon liberty.
Well, I mean, we learned this week his efforts to help try to, feed the insurrection. We knew he was always behind Jeffrey Clark, trying to get him to be Attorney General.
Well, what has he got with Jeffrey Clark? How does he know that guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter because Jeffrey Clark got sent back to the woodshed.
Yeah.
One of the few things that those lawyers who had a modicum of sensibility were able to do with Donald Trump.
Maybe, but he's very high up in the project of 2025.
Yeah.
You know, the plan to create, to rewrite the government if Trump gets reelected. He's right up there with the writers.
And you can see, by the way, it came out this week. I don't have one in front of me, but they had a copy of the questions that they're asking people to vet them as to whether they're part of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we could talk about that next week. But don't forget Scott. Well, we can leave Scott Perry with this thought. He asked for a pardon before Trump left.
Yeah.
So there's some consciousness of guilt there.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Right.
You talk about characters. You know, we had Elon Musk.
And by the way, most of the people who were working on this project 2025 in a leadership capacity were pardoned by Trump.
Yeah.
These are guys who already violated it, whatever they had to violate.
Bannon,
we know them, and some of them we don't know. But there's about 250 of them pardoned by Trump who are working to rewrite the government and to restaff the government.
Yeah, so we have to be cognizant of that. Well, we could talk about Trump. He's out there getting more and more, I hate to say radical or whatever, but this week he came
out.
And told, whatever. Let me just say he came out and said he wants to again repeal the Affordable Care Act, which would leave tens of millions of Americans uninsured. Remember, he said he had a better plan to repeal and replace last time, and he had no replacement for it. It's just the predatory insurance companies.
Well, there is a replacement for it, Medicare for All, but that's not what what he's for.
That's what he's not for. And, of course, the big thing that the ACA did, not just the private policies, but the Medicaid expansion. And I don't know if you noticed this week that North Carolina finally bought into that.
Really?
I think they're the 40th state to do so, finally, because they need the money. And it keeps rural hospitals going.
Almost all of which are bankrupt.
Yes, yes. So we had that. Of course, Trump had a bad week. The gag orders that have been stayed were enforced. Reinstated.
Yeah.
They're reimposed because of what Trump was doing and saying and trying to intimidate people. I don't think the appeals court down in D.C. or the courts could do in New York could do anything different when they were able to show the judge in New York's clerk. What got all these threats? I mean, more than every day, dozens and dozens coming in. They needed to protect these people, and then late in the week, we got opinions that Trump could not invoke presidential immunity for his actions in the political sphere. He's got certain immunities, but there's no candidate immunity when you're running for office. And
there's no immunity for any action that the president takes that isn't part of his official duties.
Right, right. And then it didn't get a lot of press, but he came out this week and said, he's talked about pardoning the insurrectionists. And now he's talking about that when he becomes president, he's going to arrest the Capitol policeman who hit back the insurrectionists trying to keep them out of the Capitol. I'm sure that a Sandra Day O'Connor wouldn't go for that stuff on things. And, you talk about the Koch network, part of their network, and you mentioned last week the library voter, these Moms for Liberty AstroTurf organizations. And we had down in DeSantis country, where they've been very active,
Where they were founded.
Yeah, where we had the revelation that the leaders of that, this couple named Ziegler, I believe, turned out to be not for liberty, but for libertines.
Right.
They were involved in a throuple or three-way relationship with another woman. And
they belonged to a group that promoted that.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, but she was one of the founders and the heads of Moms for Liberty. He is the current chairman of the Republican Party in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And now he's been accused of rape and assault and things like that.
And the whole shtick of Moms for Liberty is sex is bad. About sex is bad.
Yeah, kids can't, and gay, you can't learn about being gay or anything like that.
Destroys the American way of life.
Yeah, good Christians, right? Although I don't know whether they're trying to replicate the Book of Genesis, where a husband has a wife and a concubine. But
right.
I'm waiting for that defense to come up. While they keep pointing to the Democrats being for all things sexual, they're supposed to be pedophiles and this or that. And,
they're preverts. They're preverts.
Preverts. I haven't heard that word in a long time. so we had some of that. And then we still have some of the, we had the Elon Musk incident.
The gift that gives giving.
Yeah. He went at a conference and told, when he was asked about his advertisers, said that they could go F themselves. If they didn't agree with, victimhood. He said they're extorting him because they wouldn't, they pulled their advertising because they didn't like the way that, what's on Twitter or X or however you call it, because it's become a cesspool of anti-Semitism and other things.
But isn't it to be expected that if communications, if the way to have public discourse is an aspect of profit making, that whoever owns it can dictate the rules? Newspapers have always been like that. The left wingers have always complained about the capitalist press, the commercial press, the big business press, right?
Yeah.
So either it's a public utility or it's a private property. It's one or the other. It can't be both. Or you can try to make it both, but it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's lost a lot of money trying to make it work out.
Well, I don't think he's trying to make it work out. I think he's trying to have a propaganda machine for his, whatever he thinks. That's too bad. That's the system.
Well, that's the history of billionaires. Henry Ford spent money to be a propaganda machine for anti-Semitism with the Dearborn Independent.
That's right.
And we have the Richard Mellon Scaife propaganda machine out in Western Pennsylvania.
Right.
With the Tribune Review or whatever it was, where his wife, when the divorce, said that he was losing tens of millions of dollars, but he didn't care.
That's right.
Was achieving the thing. And the Koch brothers are like that.
That's right. It'll always be a bad week if you don't oppose this crap. We can find out what they discussed at the Pennsylvania Society meeting, which is this weekend.
Another gathering of the elites of Pennsylvania.
Held in the Waldorf Astoria in New York.
Yeah, it's always been that.
Yeah.
It's always been that. So,
all right. Well, we're done for this week. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.